So again, my name is Terry Elms. I'm presenting ExecSense, a system that we designed to detect new CNC domains in live networks. So detecting malware by observing their network traffic on live networks is a very attractive option. For one reason, even in enterprise networks, you do not always have full control over the end host. For example, with bring your own device, people bring in cell phones, they bring in tablets, they even may bring in their own laptop from home and connect those to your network. And in addition to that, enterprise networks have people come in who are visitors. And also, malware, when they compromise a machine, often the first thing that they do is disable the security software on the host itself. And so you often need an external way to detect these infections. And so one way to do it is by observing their traffic on the network. And because of this, there's been work in this area. And so, you know, I break down the work into three different basic methods. One is anomaly-based. And so in anomaly-based systems, they'll typically look for things like multiple hosts in a network contacting a domain and then doing some sort of malicious activity. The problem with anomaly-based systems is that it does require multiple infections of the same malware on the same network. And in addition, they tend not to scale that well due to the amount of state that they need to maintain. So, you know, so it's often difficult to get anomaly-based systems to work very well on large networks. Domain-based systems will often give you a reputation. So it'll give you either a benign or malicious reputation and the probability of it being benign or malicious. However, domain-based systems don't tell you the type of maliciousness. And so it wouldn't tell you that this is a CNC domain. And so even if a host goes to a domain with a bad reputation, it does not mean it's infected with malware. In addition, the domain-based systems do not perform attribution. Since it's a binary classification, they do not tell you the actual malware family, even if the domain is CNC. And finally, there are URL-based systems. And so these URL-based systems actually observe malicious communication, and they try to pull out strings from those observed requests. And so those strings can be fixed strings, or often they're token subsequences. And so the real problem with the URL-based systems is that it's often not the exact values in the malicious request that are important, but it's often the actual structure and the data types used in the communication. And so I'm going to talk now about the goals and observations we made during the development of ExecSense. And so first, we would like to detect new CNC domains and infected host by observing the network traffic. And in addition to detection, we would like to also do attribution, and so malware family attribution. Our observations were that the CNC protocol actually changes infrequently to that of the domains and the IP addresses and even the malware used. And this is due to the code reuse of malware. So things like repackaging with packers encryptors and do-it-yourself malware kits that are popular today. The protocols are a lot more stable. And two, HTTP is the CNC application layer protocol of choice. And the reason for that is that HTTP is common on almost every network. And so having an HTTP for your CNC application layer protocol, it blends into the background traffic. In addition, many enterprise security policies only let HTTP and a few other protocols out of their network. And so if the attacker wants his infected machine to communicate to his host over the CNC protocol, HTTP is a good choice for that for enterprise networks. And so how do we do this? So we developed a technique that we call adaptive control protocol templates. The adaptive control protocol templates basically represent the structure of the protocol observed from the malware. And we say they're self-tuning because they actually adapt to the network on which they are deployed. And so they'll recognize structures in the protocols that are very, very common on the deployment network. And finally, the adaptive control protocols look at the entire request. They're not just looking at the URL, because malware samples that we've observed often use more than just the URL to communicate information to their CNC host. And also, user agents and other things are often used as a loose form of authentication by the malware. And so ExecSend at a high level, the learning process takes two inputs. One are malware traces. And so these are malware network traces. So malware could be run in a sandbox, and a PCAP could be made. And so, so that would be one of the inputs. The other input is the actual background network traffic of the network on which ExecSend will be deployed. And then from these two inputs, we go through a learning process in which we extract the structure of the malware communication. In addition, using the background traffic, we also identify the elements in that structure that are unique for the network on which they'll be deployed. And this is our adaptive control protocol templates. And so once we have the adaptive control protocol templates, we will deploy them on the network. And we will match requests that we see from hosts on the enterprise network going to the internet with the adaptive templates. And two things go into template matching. One is similarity. And so similarity measures the likeness of the components within the request to that of the adaptive control protocol template, or CPT for short. And similarity, or specificity, measures like how unique that component is on the network. And so for each component, we will measure its uniqueness, both in the request and in the CPT. And I'll talk more about similarity and specificity in a future slide. And then the output from the template matching is a set of infected hosts and a set of CNC domains. In addition to the detection of the hosts and domains, we'll also attribute these host and domains to a malware family. And so an administrator could go and know what malware he would be looking for on the compromised machine on the enterprise network. Now I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the actual template learning process. Again, we start with malware CNC traces, and they go into a request generalization phase. And so in request generalization, we want to identify the data types used in the actual protocol. And the reason for this, again, it's not as important as what the actual values are, because the values tend to change victim to victim, but it's the actual structure of the protocol. And so the first step is to generalize these requests. And so in part A of this figure, I show two requests. And so if you use the traditional distance measurement, like edit distance, these two requests would be very far apart, because as you can see, the first part of the path in the URL that are two base64 encoded strings, and these base64 encoded strings have different values. However, they're the same data type, and the same goes for the actual values in the query component of the URL. Here you can see we have an integer and a string. And so what we do in figure B is we go through and we actually identify those data types. And so we identify that hey, it is base64 encoded. We identify the integers, and we do that for all parts of the header. And so you can see even the user agent what was a hex string of length 32. And so now if we do the comparison of the two requests, they are much closer than the ungeneralized version. And so we take the generalized request, and we use those as input to a request clustering phase. And so in the request clustering phase, we want to use hierarchical clustering to basically group like requests together. And the reason for that is it helps us do a better job generalizing the actual structure of the protocol later on in the process. And from these request clusters, they are that they're one input to the actual CPT generation. Another input is a set of labeled CNC domains. And so these domains are labeled as CNC, and in addition, they have the malware family associated with them. And the last input to CPT generation is the actual background traffic of the network on which ExecSend will be deployed. And so with those three inputs, we will generate the CPTs. And so this line shows the malware clusters that were that were input. And so the malware clusters that have labels, the way we labeled those clusters is by looking at all the requests that were grouped together and looking at the domains associated with those requests. And if one of those domains were on our seed list of domains, we labeled the entire cluster based on that malware family. And you may also notice that we have unlabeled clusters here as well. For the unlabeled clusters, we simply did not have a request that had a domain that we could label. It does not mean that these clusters are benign or malicious, because oftentimes malware will actually make benign requests just to check for network connectivity before actually doing their CNC communication. Also, it could be that they could be malicious clusters because it may just have a domain that we do not have in our seed list. And so from these clusters, we extract the centroid. And so the actual green dot in the middle of these clusters that have a label is the centroid for that cluster. And it's that centroid that we're going to use for our CPT. And so from that process, we generate a CPT. And here's the basic structure of the control protocol template. You can see we have the median URL path. We have query components from the URL. We also have the user agent, other headers from the request, and destination networks. And so networks associated are related to requests that were in the cluster from which we derived the CPT. And then we have the malware family label from the cluster. In addition, we have a URL regular expression. So the URL regular expression in this case will be used as a coarse grain filter, because it's expensive to do full template comparison to every HTTP request that you see. And so we'll make a fairly generic URL regular expression. And then if that regular expression matches, we'll do the full comparison. The other thing that we use for a coarse grain filter are the actual destination networks in the labeled CPT. And so if we see a request that is destined for one of those networks, then we'll also do the full CPT comparison to the request. And finally, we have the background traffic profile. And so the background traffic profile allows us to determine the actual specificity of all these components in the CPT. So once we have the CPTs, we would like to deploy those on the network and match live requests. And so this slide shows the two components that are important in our matching. And so one is similarity and the other is specificity. And so similarity measures the likeness of the different components in the request to that of the CPT. And specificity measures its uniqueness. And so how unique is it on this deployment network? And so over to the right, you can see the actual function for template matching. And so the input is a request, an HTTP request, and then a CPT. And for each component, we measure the similarity between the corresponding component in the request and that of the CPT. And we do the same for specificity. And once we've made those calculations, we send both of those our arguments to our actual matching function. So, so we pass in our similarity measurements, we pass in our specificity measurements, and the return is a match score. And so that tells us how likely this request is CNC communication. And so if that match score is above our match threshold, we say that it is a CNC request. Some examples of similarity and specificity. Example A shows a request with a path of index.html and a corresponding CPT that has a path index.html. Well, the two paths are identical, and so they have high similarity. However, they have low specificity because index.html is very, very common. And so we wouldn't want to say that this request is similar to that CPT just because that they both had index.html in their path. Example B shows two strings. One is the request is actually a path to a long path to an images directory. and the other one is a base64 encoded string. And so there's low similarity because the strings do not match here. However, there's high specificity because on the deployment network, these two paths are very uncommon. And then finally, example C, we have two base64 encoded strings. The actual strings themselves are different, but their data types and links are very similar. And so when you compare these, they have the high similarity due to the similarity of their data types and links, and they also have high specificity because of the network in which the CPT would be deployed. It's uncommon, it's fairly rare to have a base64 encoded string of this length in the request. And so now I'm going to talk a little bit about the evaluation of execsent. And so we evaluated execsent on three networks, two universities in the U.S. that we call UNET A and UNET B, and then one large U.S. financial institution. And you can, our average request, HTTP request that we saw per day was somewhere between 30 million and about 70 million requests per day, and the distinct domains per day what was between 100,000 and 250,000. We ran our evaluation for 2 weeks, and the CPTs were updated daily beginning 2 weeks prior to our evaluation. And so what did we use for our ground truth? For one thing, we used a commercial CNC blacklist. We also used this blacklist for our seed list in the CPT generation. And so if we had a match on a network, we would first check this commercial blacklist and say, hey, is this domain already a known CNC domain? For our whitelist, we used a pruned Alexa top 1 million list. And we pruned the Alexa list by collecting a year's worth of the Alexa top 1 million domains. And then any domain that was not on that list, at least 90% of the time for that year, we removed it. And so it left us with around 450,000 unique 2LD domains. And so any domain that we matched that had the same 2LD as one on this pruned Alexa 1 million list, we counted it as a false positive. And then domains that were on neither list, we had those reviewed by a professional threat analyst. So how did we do on the three networks? And so this slide, going from left to right, shows the number of CNC domains we detected at different match thresholds. So at a 0.62 match threshold on University Network A, we saw about 70 unique CNC domain names. And on University B's network, we saw about 35. And then on the financial network, we saw 2. And you can see our false positive rate is fairly low at 0.02%. And so as you increase the match threshold, and so as you go from 0.62 all the way over to 0.84, you can see that our true positives do go down, or the domains that we detect do go down, but so do the false positives. And so at 0.84, we had zero false positives, but we still had detections on all three networks. So one question you might ask, well those domains that you detected, how many of those were actually new CNC domains that were not on your blacklist or are not known? And so over 50% of the domains that we detected on the university networks were new, brand new CNC domains that we discovered. And for the financial firm, all the domains that we discovered, we discovered two, were brand new CNC domains. If you look at the actual infected host, we actually discovered hundreds of infected hosts on the university's networks and a few hosts on the actual financial institution. But the majority, 80% plus, were actually infections going to these new CNC domains and would not be detected by the CNC blacklist. So we actually discovered 65 brand new CNC domains in total. And so we took these 65 new CNC domains and we deployed them on six ISP networks for 1 week. And then each day, we counted the number of unique domain names or unique IP addresses that contacted one of those new 65 domain names. And on one day, we saw a total of 25,584 hosts contact one of those domains. And so those are actually potentially new malware infections. Also, we compared ExecSent against two other models. One model we called specificity off, which is ExecSent without its adaptiveness. And the other we called URL only, which was just the URL component of the request. And so from this slide, you can see that the number of true positives were fairly close, and it didn't really matter which technique we actually used. However, if you look at the actual false positives, and here the y-axis is log scale, you can see that there's a huge difference because ExecSent had 11 false positives during this deployment of this test, and the other two techniques had tens of thousands of false positives. So limitations to ExecSent. For one thing, we have a dependence on malware traces and the labeled seed list of domains. So this is not that bad though because of the use of the do-it-yourself kits and the code reuse. We really only need one malware sample to create a CPT for an entire malware family. And we don't necessarily need the binary. We can actually record the communication on a live network that was detected via some other means. Second here, the attacker could try to bypass ExecSent by implementing a new protocol whenever they change their CNC domain or IP address. The difficulty with this one, though, is that it hurts the agility a little bit, because often malware ships with a list of fallback CNC domains and IP addresses. They would now need to ship with a list of fallback protocols to use when a domain or an IP address gets blocked. And so it increases the difficulty a little bit for the attacker. In addition, they could attempt to blend into background traffic. And so they could try to mimic the actual request on a network. However, because ExecSent adapts to the network on which it's deployed, they would have to adapt their protocol to every network on which they are deployed, and then still be able to communicate information to the CNC server. And then finally, they could actually inject noise into the protocol. So they could inject random data into the protocol, but ExecSent can still detect malware that attempts to do this, or we still have a chance to detect malware that does this because of the similarity and specificity. We actually care more about the components and the structures that the malware request has in common versus the differences, so we'll likely ignore much of the noise that was injected. And in conclusion, the majority of the CNC domains and infections we discovered were not on a blacklist. CNC domains and IP addresses change more frequently than the protocol structure. And so they tend to do this because as soon as a domain or an IP address is added to a blacklist, they will quickly change the domains that they're using. However, the protocol changes rarely due to the code reuse. And then finally, the adaptive templates yield a better trade-off between true and false positives, and you can see that in our results. I mean, on the true positive side, the different techniques that we evaluated were very, very close. However, on the false positive side, there was a huge difference. And then lastly, ExecSent is currently deployed. It's currently deployed in Damballa's fail-safe product, and so it's being used today on enterprise networks to detect new CNC domains. And thank you, and are there any questions?
Let's thank the speaker.
I'm Rich Johnson from the National Center for Atmospheric Research. One question for you and on using this. Do you have hooks or ways to integrate with existing SIEM installations or Bro IDS or other stuff like that?
Yeah, so this technology is currently in a Dambala product. And so I know Dambala has integration with SIEM software, and so they can report to those. I don't know all the details, but there does exist a capability to do that.
Tudor Dumitras, University of Maryland. So if I understand correctly, you intercept HTTP traffic at the proxy level. I was wondering how much of the CNC traffic was done over HTTPS, how percentage?
Yeah, so we didn't evaluate the HTTP traffic or HTTPS, as far as actually detecting CNC protocols in this. I can tell you though, from the malware feed that we get, there's a very, very small percentage of malware currently using HTTPS, and so that's when we kind of ignored it in our evaluation. But it would be possible with this system, because we do set the proxy and we can do man in the middle, to actually detect CNC over HTTPS.
Any additional questions?
Taiwan from Carlton, Canada. So you mentioned you deploy a newly discovered CNC domain in six ISPs. Can you illustrate how do you actually deploy other people's domain in the ISP?
Yeah, so the ISPs already had sensors owned by Dambala that look at DNS traffic on those networks. And so we deployed the new CNC domains on those DNS sensors, and then we watched for host IP addresses daily, looking up those domain names over DNS.
Okay, so you have some collaboration with the ISP to help you doing this, right?
Yeah. So Dambala has a relationship with the ISPs, and I use their relationship to actually get my domains on those sensors in front of the DNS.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, let's thank the speaker one more time.